Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church of Robbinsville. Thank you for joining us. We trust that the teaching of God's Word will speak to you.
What a start to our morning, amen? I hope that just that picture never gets old for us, of what God does in the lives of people. All different stages, all different times, and all different ways that God is pursuing people, and God is still in the work of bringing salvation to people. So can I just encourage you for a moment that maybe you just watched that, and that was a new thing for you, and you don't understand what just happened, or maybe you've never been baptized, or maybe you aren't confident in your salvation. Can I just urge you today to deal with that and address that? If you don't know the Lord as your Savior today, or if you're confused about your salvation, or if you're not confident in your salvation, please come find me after church. I'd love to talk to you about that. Because as you heard JR testify, there's no greater joy and peace in life than knowing your salvation is secured. So I know a lot of folks can wrestle with that, and that can be difficult at times. So please, what a great way to start a new year with confidence in your salvation. So that's our hope for you. Well, today we are going to kick off kind of our 2024 prayer requests. And if you've been with us for a while, I think this is our seventh year of doing this. But basically, every fall, as the year's coming to an end, we spend time as elders really praying and thinking about where is God taking us next as a church family. And we think through kind of what are the main themes that God would have us to study for this coming year. And in light of that, we develop these different prayer requests that we ask the whole body collectively to pray for this coming year. That's a really special thing to think about. When you think about, as you pray these things, you are all, hopefully all of our church family is praying these same things to God for an entire year. That's a really neat idea. And so there's a lot of thought that goes into these prayers because we want to collectively ask God to do some very special things among our church family this year. And so we always love getting to share just these prayer requests with you. So if you have a bulletin, they're on the back of your bulletin. As you leave today, we have some magnets for you. You can put it up on your fridge because we want these to be something that does come across your mind throughout the year. But I'm not just going to read these prayer requests to you. We are also going to kind of introduce our topic for this coming year is the idea of worship. Worship is a big idea. It's a big concept. And so we're going to spend this year developing that theme and hopefully growing in our understanding of what worship is. And we're going to primarily do that through the book of Romans. And so next week, we're going to start the book of Romans. And the way we like to study scripture here is going verse by verse through the whole book. And so Romans is going to be a long, significant study. But we are very excited for that time together. And so today is kind of an introduction to these prayer requests, but also just an overview and an introduction to what is worship. And so we're going to be looking at probably two of the most well-known, there's a lot of well-known verses in Romans. So I'll say two really well-known verses in Romans. So as we begin today, I invite you to stand with me for the reading of God's Word as a way to show our honor to God's inspired, inerrant, infallible Word. So Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 is where we're going to be studying together today. And it says this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Father, as we close our eyes and we bow our heads before you today, God, we ask that you would help us as we develop our understanding of worship. This is such a critical topic and a topic that really gives a whole new meaning and direction for every day of our lives. So God, I pray in your kindness that you would show us more about what it means to worship you as our Lord. Father, we thank you again for just the beautiful picture of baptism and what that represents and what you've done in the lives of these individuals and what you are continually offering to all who would place their faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So we pray that you would guide our study this morning. I pray that your Spirit would speak to our hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so what I want to do is to walk through these two verses and just make some observations and then tie them to our prayer request. So we're going to kind of break this down into small sections, starting out with just this first phrase, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now, if I had to venture a guess, I'd probably say you didn't use this word beseech this week. right? You didn't approach your children and say, kids, I'm really beseeching of you. Or you didn't go to your waitress and say, I beseech you to bring me some more coffee today, right? This is kind of an old school language, but it's really a beautiful word. And it's this idea of urging or almost pleading or begging. It's a word that most often is used as when somebody in Scripture is praying out to God. It's this word, beseeching. It's this, you know, when you think of the ways that you pray to the Lord, it's not just this casual kind of like, oh, that'd be cool, God. When something is really burdening your heart and you're crying out to the Lord with this fervor and this passion because you so desperately want God to hear your prayers, that's this idea right here. So as the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to Romans through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he comes to this point kind of towards the end of his letter, and he says, I'm begging you. I'm urging you, I am pleading with you to listen to what I'm about to tell you. And of course, you notice, who's he speaking to? He's speaking to his brethren. He's speaking to believers, those who have placed their faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So he's talking to fellow believers, and he's saying, I am begging of you to listen to what I'm about to say. This is critically important for you. And he uses this word that's a word that's easy to kind of skip through in the Bible. But when you see that word, therefore, that's a really critical word. It's kind of this flashlight kind of word. Because Paul says, I'm getting ready to make this transition. And he says, I'm begging you to listen to what I'm going to say. But he says, what I'm about to say is building on everything I've just talked to you about. And so we're jumping into chapter 12 of Romans. And he's saying everything we just covered in the first 11 chapters is building to this moment right here. Now, this is a little hard because we've not studied the first 11 chapters, but come back next week and we're going to get into it. But what he's saying here is, as I'm begging you to listen and to respond to what I'm about to say, recognize that is built on everything we've just talked about for these last 11 chapters. And what has he talked about for the last 11 chapters? Well, he summarizes it right there, by the mercies of God. So what he's saying here is the foundation of everything I'm about to say is built on this idea of the mercies of God. Do you know that one of the ways that God is introduced in the Bible, Paul wrote this letter in 2 Corinthians, and he calls him the Father of Mercies. Now that's who our God is the God of mercies. And so let's think for a minute, if you're familiar with the book of Romans at all, what are some of the mercies that have been talked about in these first 11 chapters? Primarily what Romans is about is how hopelessly lost we were without Christ. But God loved us so much that he sent his perfect son to be the sacrifice for our sins. And this beautiful thing happens that when we place our faith in Christ and him alone for our salvation, God takes our brokenness and he gives us eternal life. And it doesn't stop there. He gives us access to God the Father. And he gives us this hope of heaven. And he helps us to see that once we were slaves to sin and without hope in this world, and yet now he has made us free and alive to experience the abundant life that he desires for us. And he highlights over and over again that God is a God who makes promises, and God is a God who always keeps his promises. So we think, just what are the mercies of God? That kind of summarizes it right there. But personalize that. Think about your story. Think about the stories you just heard. The mercies of God being lived out in a life. I can think back to my own story of a high school kid looking for satisfaction and fulfillment in all the wrong ways, living a very double standard life, being a complete hypocrite, thinking I had life figured out, but God in his mercy saved me from that. And God in his mercy brought individuals into my life who could lead me and train me into what it meant to follow the Lord with my life. And God in his mercy gave me a wonderful spouse to pursue him together with. And God in his mercy brought us together as a church family. And God in his mercy gave us this day today. What would your story be about the mercies of God? Could you describe the mercies of God in your life? Have you seen his mercies this year? It's really important that we take hold of those and we remember those, because what Paul is saying is these mercies of God are the very foundation of our worship. Our willingness to worship God is directly tied to our understanding of His mercy. You see how critical that is? When we understand the grace of God and what God has done in our lives, the natural response is to worship Him. But if all I know of the Lord is that He's this terrifying figure who's longing to just send as many people to hell as He can, if that's what I think about Him, that is not a God I am drawn to worship. That's a God I am taught to be fearful and terrified of and to push away. And yet what Paul says, it's not that. What draws us to the Lord is His mercy, the beauty of who He is. And so our hope is that we are growing in our appreciation and recognition of these mercies, because our lives are full of them. And the lives of those we love are full of them. And when we slow down enough to see them, we are drawn to the beauty of the Lord, and worship becomes a natural response. And so our first prayer request we have this year is that we would grow in our understanding of true worship of God. This is where it starts. And when we use this phrase that we would grow in our understanding of true worship, that starts by saying, how do we grow in grasping more and more of the reality of God's graciousness in our lives? Because that's what fuels our worship. And so what are some practical ways we do that? How do we learn to worship the Lord? How do we learn to see more of His character? Well, it's a great thing at the beginning of the year, as you're thinking about changes you want to make this year, to think about, how do I become disciplined in my own personal time in the Word? Because what is it that's going to change our understanding of God and His character is the time that we have in the Word that He has given to us. How do we know God's character? It's through what He's revealed. Because when we create and generate our own understanding of God's character, we're going to get it wrong. But God has revealed Himself to us. And that's primarily what the Bible's about. More than being a book about us, more than being a book about God's world, it's a book about Him and who He is. And so we grow in our understanding of Him and how we worship Him through that time in the Word. But we also do it when we connect in relationships and with people who we share what we are learning. Do you ever have those moments where life just seems dry and maybe you can't see the mercies of God, or maybe it just seems like God is kind of quiet in your life right now, but then you hear someone's story about how God was so real to them? What does that do for your faith? It reignites it in those moments. So I encourage you too, when you think about your story and what God is doing in your life, sometimes we feel like that's kind of not that significant. Your story matters. Your willingness to share that with other people can do more for their faith than you can ever imagine. God uses those things in people's life to encourage them. So maybe that story that you share with others is the very thing that's going to spark them to have a new desire to pursue learning to worship the Lord. So take the courage. Be willing to share what you're learning. Read good books, especially those ones that focus on God's character. Listen to good podcasts, teaching. Do these things to saturate our brains with who God is. Those are ways that we can start to see this prayer lived out. But we invite you to pray this with us this year. Think about, how different would this church be? How different would our life be if in 2024 we could say, I grew in my understanding of the worship of God? Our lives would never look the same. But we are so quick to get distracted by things that don't matter, and the worship of God becomes this back burner idea. But the way that we think matters. Because all of our actions, our decisions, our attitudes, those are results of the way that we think. And so when God's grace becomes this dominating thing in our lives, and the mercies of God is what's consuming our thinking, it's going to change how we live drastically. And so then he goes on in this next part of the verse. So he says, I beg you, in light of God's mercies, this is what I want you to do, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now let's flesh out this idea right here. Paul says, I'm urging you, brothers, I love you and I'm longing for you to get this. This is what I want you to do. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, this word for presenting your body is it's kind of a technical term. It's this term used in the Old Testament when the priests would take an animal and they would slaughter that animal, and they would take that animal, that dead animal, to the altar, and they would place that animal upon the altar, and the fire would consume that animal completely. And that smoke would rise up, and the Old Testament calls it a pleasing aroma to the Lord as this sacrifice is being completely burned up and consumed. That's the word that Paul uses here. When we think of the Old Testament, we think, yay, the sacrifices are done. But the reality is God is still looking for a sacrifice. But it's no longer a dead animal, it's your life. And so Paul says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to present your life, your body, as a living sacrifice to God. But there's a real difference between presenting a living sacrifice and a dead animal. And what's that difference? A living animal, a living being, still has a will. And oftentimes when we have this will within us and we are laying our bodies upon the altar, we have a will that says, I want to get up and leave. I don't want to do this. I don't want to present myself to the Lord in this way. And so we kind of go back and forth on this. I'm presenting myself and I'm leaving, because we are people with wills that go back and forth. A dead animal has no will. And so it sits upon the altar. But what God is wanting from us today, that we would present our bodies as a living sacrifice to Him. And now this idea of bodies, I want to flesh this out a minute. What does this mean? It doesn't just mean this physical thing that we're carrying around. It's this word that represents just the totality of who you are. Everything about you, your physical reality, the spiritual reality, your thinking, all of it. The complete part of what it means for you to be a human being. To take all that you are and offer it as a sacrifice to God. That's a daily thing. Because we continue to live and we continue to have to make this choice. Do I want to present my body as a living sacrifice to Him? And then he goes on, he says, when we present our bodies, this is holy, it's acceptable to God, it pleases Him. And then he says this, and if you do this, this is your reasonable service. Now, if you think about what that would look like to every day to submit yourself to the Lord and to offer all of you are to Him, Paul calls that very reasonable. To us, that may seem insane. Why would I lay down what I want as a human being and say, God, I'm giving this to you. I'm surrendering all that I am to you. The only thing that makes that reasonable is when we go back to the foundation of God's mercy. When we understand God's mercy, this idea of giving God everything we are is a reasonable, natural response. Now, the word for reasonable here is some translations will also say spiritual service. But it's really the idea, the word that we use is the word for logical. Have you ever thought about that? When he says, when you do this, this is a logical thing for you to do. When you think of your logic, you're thinking of the way that you think. What Paul is saying here is choosing to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God is not just an emotional reaction. It is a logical choice that we are making. And that is so important, because we can so easily get caught up in the emotion and, yes, Lord, I'm all yours. I'm giving myself to you. But then when it actually comes to day-to-day living, if we've not settled that in our minds and say, I'm doing this because of God's mercy and in response to Him, when that emotional feeling is gone, we're not going to continue to offer ourselves to Him. But when we actually stop and slow down and think, being a Christian doesn't mean we quit thinking. But when we stop and we say, God, I think about who you are and what you've done in my life. I am so moved by all that you have done. I am choosing to willingly respond to you in gratitude, because without you, I'm nothing. That logical thinking carries us through the waves of emotion that never will. So I encourage you, some of you college students had the chance to go down to the Passion this weekend, and Passion's a wonderful experience. And it can bring you to this emotional place of making awesome decisions to the Lord. But don't leave it there. Because if all that you're counting on to fuel you is emotional experience, it will never last. But Paul says this is reasonable. This is logical. And so he goes on. What does he want us to do with this? What does this look like to present our bodies? And he goes on, he kind of gives two aspects to this. There's this double command here. There's this negative one and a positive one. The first thing is, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So two aspects here of what does it look like to present my body as an act of worship. First, it means that I choose to not be conformed to this world. And this is a passive idea. It's really the idea of just being conformed. It's just naturally kind of going through life, and whatever comes into my brain, I allow that to just control and dictate how I respond. This is what, I mean, it's so easy to get consumed with entertainment and just things that distract our minds, and so subtly, those things just start to conform us to the thinking and the patterns of this world. And all of a sudden, the things that God says are wrong seem pretty normal. Remember 20 years ago, do you remember when I Love Lucy was on TV? And when Lucy and Ricky, who have been married for 20 years, were going to bed, where did they sleep? They got in opposite beds because they thought it was too risque on television to have a married couple climb into the same bed. Has anything changed about entertainment since I Love Lucy? Do you think the things we just kind of let float around our brains and those things that don't seem that bad, does that actually conform us in a way that we don't even recognize? So all of a sudden, the things that God calls sin don't really seem like that big of a deal, because to the world, they're becoming more and more normal. That's the pattern of being conformed. But we're not victims. We're not people who are just running from the world and saying, I can't be conformed, so I'm going to go hide in a closet and not let anything touch me. No, we're going to actively be conformed by the renewing of our mind. We're not afraid of the world. God has defeated the power of sin. So we are wise in the things we expose ourselves to, but we also know that God is transforming everyone who is giving themselves to him, and he is changing our minds so that our minds are being renewed to the realities of his word and his truth, and we are not being conformed to the thinking of this present evil age. But that takes intentionality. But you know here that this is also something that's passive. This is something that happens to us, not something we can do on our own. Does that seem strange to you? The idea here is that the Holy Spirit is the one who's doing this within us. We can't do this on our own. We can't just renew our own thinking and transform ourselves. But the Holy Spirit is actively trying to do this in the lives of his people. And when we give ourselves to him and we allow him to transform us and we want him to transform us, this is what takes place. And so what do we see here in this section of this verses is that the act of worship is surrendering myself. What is it that God is after? What does God want his mercies to produce in my life? It's the total surrender of myself. This goes back to just a couple weeks ago when we talked about the idea of King Jesus and how do we respond to him. And so our second prayer request of this year is coming from this idea. We are praying that our daily awareness of the worship of God would be transforming. We want to be transformed this year. We don't want to enter into 2025 and be very close to what we are right now. We want God to transform our thinking, to transform our lives, transform our marriages. And how does that happen? It happens when we say, God is daily working in my life. But that takes a real discipline to be aware of that and to say that God is doing things in my life, but we miss it. And so our prayer is that we would see it. That we would see that worship isn't just something we do on Sunday mornings, but it is a daily reality of our lives. If we start to live every day focused on the worship of God, we will be a transformed people. So that's our second prayer there. And all this leads to this last part of verse 2, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So here, do you see how he's kind of progressing in his thinking? Here's the foundation, it's the mercies of God. When you understand the foundation, what is the reasonable response is surrendering yourself. And as you start to surrender yourself, this is what happens. You start to prove God's will in your life. Now, that word prove is a little bit strange, but it's really the idea of like testing. Paul is saying it's when you start to surrender yourself, you're putting God's will to the test. Do you think God passes that test? When we surrender ourselves and we say, Lord, you are calling me to live in this way. I am giving myself to you and I'm going to follow and trust what you say, even though I don't understand how this could be better for me. When we live that way, what happens? God's will is proved. It's tested. And as a result, it is found to be correct and right and true. Because all of us would say, when we give ourselves to the Lord, what happens in those areas of our lives? They get better every single time. Because God, as a creator, understands how life works best. But it's a scary thing, and our minds fight with this, and we struggle to say that. But when we slow down in life and say, you know what, Lord, the times I have tested you, the times I've tried to respond in love, when I didn't want to, your will has been proven to be right and true and good. And the more we can see that in our lives, the more confidence it gives us to follow him with the most radical things that he's asking of us. Because we hope that God asks you all to do some radical things for him this year. And we hope you respond by surrendering yourself and saying yes, whatever that may be. And so we want to prove God's will in the way that we live. And when we think of God's will, there's a couple different realities to this. Of course, we think about the idea of what does God want me to do? And we think about that in terms of like, how does he want me to live? Does he want me to do this thing or does he want me to do this thing? And one of the things around here that we highlight a lot is the idea of one of the things that God wants all of us to do is to live our lives as ambassadors of Jesus Christ who are making disciples of him. We're really big on that. That drives everything we do here, that we would make disciples who love and live like Jesus. And so one of the things that we know is that God, as we may take these steps of faith, and we say, Lord, I'm surrendering my shyness, my quietness, my timidness, whatever, and I am giving that to you, and I'm going to step out in faith and pursue an intentional relationship with someone else. That can be a very scary thing, but we know that is part of what God wants all of his people to come to. This is part of what God is wanting us to do. And so here we see, we've looked at the foundation of worship and the act of worship. We see the outcome of worship is proving the will of God. We test it and we prove it, and we find that his will is always good and right. And so our third prayer request in light of that is we pray that our worship of God would lead to investing in other people. And here's how that's fleshed out. One of the things we know that God wants is us to live this way. But this is going to look very different for all of us. So we think of the will of God. There's a general will that God wants. He wants us to live investing our lives in other people. But what does that mean for you? You may not become a preacher. You may not become a Sunday school teacher. But can you have an intentional relationship with someone else where you are actively sharing what you are learning? You're asking them intentional questions and you're trying to help them understand the character of God more. That's the simplicity of what this prayer is asking. That we would grow to be people who our worship of God is so exciting and real in our lives that we long to share that with someone else. This can look very simple in your life. And maybe it looks small and feels small to you, but that is not any less significant than preaching or being a missionary in Africa. Investing in God is going to look different. But our prayer is that becomes more clear for you this year. What does it look like for you to live intentionally and invest your lives in other people? We can't answer that for you. But God, if you pray this prayer and you're starting to ask God of this, he will reveal this to you. And so we want to see that this year more. And we want to see that locally as well as globally. And so we didn't necessarily have an exact prayer this year, but one of the things that is always on our minds is we want to partner with missionaries in other places of the world. We want to continue our relationship with Emmanuel Baptist Church in Kinston. We want to find other places and people who are making disciples of Jesus Christ and give everything we have to support them in that endeavor. Because we know what God is doing and this desire of him does not stop in Robbinsville. And we want to always keep our eyes open to God is at work around the world building his kingdom. And we want to be a part of that however he allows us. And so in this prayer, we are also thinking that as well. That God would continue to show us as a body, how do we do this more effectively in investing our time and resources and efforts and prayers into other places of the world where God is at work. So we invite you to pray these things with us this year. And as I look back on these last 7 years of prayers I've had, we have seen God work in some incredibly tremendous ways. And we trust that he's going to do it again. And so this year, as we think about this and just in closing today, if we have learned anything throughout this last year of our study of wisdom, it's that God is calling us to live intentionally. So we would pray that you would take these prayers and make these personal in your lives, because these are the prayers of an intentional life. Someone who says, God, help me to know your mercies more. Help me to understand how you are daily working in my life, and God, continue to transform me. And Father, make me to live intentionally in my relationship to others. Maybe it's one person this year that you can come to know and give yourself to so that they can come to know the beauty of the worship of God. If we can come to the end of 2024 and say, God, we have prayed this and we have seen you do this, that would be a wonderful year. So let's live intentionally and let's ask God to work among us in these ways. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for these glimpses that we see of the ways that you are at work. Father, we thank you for your mercies, that you are the Father of mercies. Father God, there are so many ways that you bless us and work in our lives that we don't even recognize or see or even know that you've done it. But God, your hand and your fingerprints are on everything that we see and experience. Help us, Lord, to see that a little bit more today. Father, we thank you so much for choosing to send your son to die on the cross. What an awesome act of mercy that was, Father, that you saw us in our hopelessness and you made a way for us to be rescued and redeemed. God, please draw any here who doesn't know you to yourself. Help them to come to know the saving faith and the beauty of your gospel, Lord. Help us to see the transforming work of your spirit within our lives. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand as we close.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you were encouraged by the teaching of God's Word. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, you can find us at www.robbinsvillefbc.org or call the office at 828-479-3423. God bless you and have a great day.